No one likes an ungrateful person. Calling someone an ingrate is a rather nasty slander. And there are few things more uncomfortable than seeing a spoiled child melting down in public. While we do not like thanklessness, I think we often categorize ingratitude as a minor vice. It's unpleasant, but not particularly damaging. But I contend that there are few other things that so clearly show the depravity of the human heart. The law of God, love your neighbor, is written on all of our hearts. Human nature should naturally be moved to love. But sin has wreaked havoc in our hearts. Whoever is not moved to love, even when receiving the kindness of another, shows that even the last spark of natural love has been extinguished. Obvious displays of ingratitude are so uncomfortable because they show forth the truly contemptible state of the human heart. In the name of the giver of every good gift, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. You may recall this evening's gospel from 2 months ago. At that time, you heard me tell you that the Samaritan returned to give thanks to Jesus because he recognized that Christ is the temple, Christ is the high priest, and Christ is God incarnate. Thus, this gospel is more about faith than it is about the thankfulness of the Samaritan. But this does not negate the fact that the nine are ungrateful. They do not give thanks for the miraculous gift of healing that they received. Our Lord says, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" We are tempted to ask, how can this be possible? How can these 9 men healed of leprosy be such ingrates? But be cautious in judging the 9, lest you judge yourselves. The 9 do not recognize the source of their blessings, so they do not give thanks. The ingratitude of the 9 is the common state of mankind. Nearly every hour of every day, we are stricken with mind-numbing ingratitude. Even we Christians who confess, "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth," are subject to this common affliction. I realized in preparing for this text that I am chief among the ingrates. God has not revealed himself to be a creator like a watchmaker who creates the universe, then steps back and lets his creation run. Instead, he is the creator and sustainer of all things. The Apostle Paul confesses before the Athenian philosophers, "God is not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being." And the preacher to the Hebrews likewise says, "He upholds the universe by the word of his power." None of us can go a single second without being surrounded by the kindness of God. Each person has received from God body and soul, eyes, ears, and all their members, their reason and all their senses, and each moment of life is a special grace of God. Each breath a gift, every night's sleep a comfort, each bite of food a kindness, each drink a mercy, and each joy a treasure. If God removed his hand for even a second, all would cease to exist. In our enlightened age, how often do we recognize the giver of the blessings we enjoy? We know that food comes from the grocery store, not from a loving God. We know that rain is the result of a low-pressure weather system, not the mercy of our Heavenly Father. We have pushed away the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and created an idol. We are content to worship the clockmaker God of our imagination. We are like children who receive a gift and delight in the wrapping paper and pay no attention to the giver. How honestly can we pray with the psalmist, "The eyes of all look to you, O Lord, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing." Not only are we blind to the source of our blessings like the 9 lepers, but we use the blessings of God as weapons against him. Instead of praising the name of the one who gave us breath and voice, we blaspheme it, using his name as a minor expletive. We take the temporal blessings of God and arrogantly try to build an earthly kingdom of self-sufficiency while paying no attention to the source of these good things: home, family, and food. If we treat these gifts of God that all people recognize as a blessing, what do we do with suffering? Can we honestly pray with Job, "The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Do we heed the admonishment of the preacher to the Hebrews? "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son." Or is our theology too shallow to take account of suffering and to give thanks to God in the midst of suffering? Happy Thanksgiving. Amen. Just kidding, not quite done yet. God does have room in his theology for suffering. In his infinite power, wisdom, and love, God deals with our ingratitude in the most surprising of ways. Instead of withdrawing his hand and letting us perish, he gives us even more. We try to hold God at a distance, turn him into a clockmaker, but the Almighty becomes man. He sticks himself into our business and then promises, "Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." God will not be distant from us because in Jesus, God came to suffer with us, to suffer for us. He came to take upon himself our blasphemies, our arrogance, and our ingratitude. He nails our thanklessness to the cross, and he gives thanks. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread and gave thanks. For this reason, the church refers to the Lord's Supper as the Eucharist, the thanksgiving. In the Eucharist, Jesus takes all our half-thanks and ingratitudes. He purifies them, he sanctifies them, and he offers them up to the Father as pure thanks. In the gospel text we had this evening, the Samaritan, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. The Samaritan heard the words of Jesus, and he received healing. In faith, he recognized Jesus as the source of his blessings, and he gives him thanks. It is not perfect thanks, but Jesus purifies and sanctifies it. In Jesus, the Father is praised. You, my dear brothers and sisters, are like the Samaritan. You have heard the word of Jesus. You have received his healing absolution, and in faith, you give him thanks and recognize him. You give thanks to God for all his mercies and regret the thanklessness that still dwells in your hearts. Christ takes your thanks and purifies them and offers them up to the Father. Happy Thanksgiving. God wants you to enjoy his gifts. Eat turkey, enjoy family and friends, drink some cider and wine, and praise God from whom all blessings flow. Amen.